big part of cope are games. Why games? The people who come out to a cope session are very used to performing well in a class situation. Come, sit down, open up the head, stuff gets put in, they pop the head back on, regurgitate it, and then move on. We have an opportunity to give our participants an opportunity to practice using judgment and learning something about themselves, being a mirror to everyone, also to ourselves, and in a way where every one of these sessions ends with a learning opportunity, an experience. This is why I turned the order around. We're skipping into the Blay-On manual, deep down into it, to chapter 18, 143 pages, Stories and Tall Tales. So why? Because this is what is going to enable us to deliver a program that our youth and fellow adults are not going to ever get anywhere else. So what I want you to be thinking about is the learning objective, be able to describe a theme for which you can describe games which are consistent with that theme. So what's a tall tale? Wikipedia has got some great examples. And what I would like you to do before we meet again out at Snyder, wherever, is look at some tall tales and scan them and see now which ones of these kind of speak to you. You feel like you're there. Because a tall tale is a story with unbelievable elements that's related as if they were true and factual. Stories are often an exaggeration of actual events. Well, why would we be interested in this? Well, imagine here you are in a group, all eyes are on you, looking for you to define what that next step is. What are you going to do? If you don't have a tall tale, a theme, a story, it's like chunk, a chunk, a chunk, a chunk. Let's play this game. Let's play that game. Oh, now what game are we going to play now? It is really difficult. But when you've got a theme, you've got a structure. When you've got a tall tale that everything is based upon, they're living this tall tale. Now, imagine you're called upon to tell a story. What will your story be? Well, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now, what caused that idea to come to mind? Now let's put that germ of an idea into our framework. And by framework, I want you to think of a cope session as a journey. This group shows up. You're going to be their leader. You're going to be the guide. Not necessarily the person out front, but you're going to be that person helping those participants that don't know it yet, but you're about to take them from their everyday world into a world of fantasy and adventure and maybe history, where they'll struggle to overcome challenges, apply what they already know or they think they know, what their teammates might know, and be receptive to learning something that they can apply later. And they learn by sharing their findings and feelings and thoughts of the future and what has just happened. And through that process, they discover something about themselves, about the other members of their team, and at the end of that session, they return back to their own world. But look what's happened. They've gotten out of their head, they've gotten experiences that they can talk about and that they can reflect upon. Through this, just like Disney World, what Walt Disney intended originally is he wants families to come out, have fun, and oh, by the way, happen to learn something. That's what COPE gives you the opportunity to do. So, what do we know for certain? Well, generally, start time and approximate end time, and usually nothing else. Except you might give some thought as to what might happen that could cause you to change your plans. What would require you to change your plans? When we're setting up a session for COPE, we contact the unit leader that wants to have the session and ask them what he thinks the group needs to accomplish. Maybe a group of Weeblos just crossed over and they've got a bunch of scouts. Well, usually there's this us versus them. Got to break that barrier. Okay, we got to get these guys working it. We got to get them mixed up. We got to get them working together. How do we do that? This is topics that we're going to talk about later. But in getting that working, when you put that in a context of a tall tale, a story, a theme, particularly something that they think they might know something about, so they can relate to it to a bit, but it's not so structured and not so identical to something I've seen before in the movies or in books, whatever, that they come in with this list of expectations because this is your world you're taking them into. When I first started facilitating COPE sessions, I would spend a week coming down with a plan of exactly how I was going to run everything. And I can hear you guys just chuckling because I know you know exactly what happened next. What's the first casualty of a plan? The encounter with the participants.
Itself.
I should have written that one down. I just blew the punchline, didn't I? First casualty of a, yeah. Now, let me give you a couple examples of a theme that we did. Around the 16th, 17th of March, we had a group of participants in, and we said, well, welcome to Leprechaun Boot Camp. You're here as potential leprechauns, but in order for you to prove yourself to be worthy to be called a leprechaun, we need to see how you will perform. We have an element called a whale watch that is a 12-foot by 12-foot platform that teeters back and forth. It's like a very wide teeter-totter. So, okay, so now the entire crew of potential leprechauns, you're going to visit the nursery of the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster nursery is overseen by a grumpy old leprechaun. And it was a dog squeaky toy that was under one side of the platform. And we have a baby Loch Ness Monster just hatched out on the other side. Now, in order for you to demonstrate that you're ready to be a leprechaun, you must greet the guardian leprechaun and the baby Loch Ness Monster. After everyone is on the platform, each one of you must go over and touch the grumpy leprechaun guard and then touch the baby Loch Ness Monster. And if any one of them makes a sound, everybody has to get off immediately. And then do it all over again. Plus, we had the having to go across the rainbow to get to the pot of gold and so forth. Another thing that we had was the 00 agent recruiting, where the unit showed up, a bunch of scouts. They had known each other for years, so we gave them numbers. 001, 002, 003, 004, 5, 6. Nope, 7's going to be around any minute now, so that'll be for somebody else. 8, 9. The one who had 009, it looked kind of like a G, so he got referred to as Oog. We would have an idea of the game we wanted to play because they needed to know communication, they needed to know teamwork, how to do planning, because you get a group of scouts together, you give them a challenge. What happens next? Pandemonium, and want to dive in and start doing it. So you have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, so the theme I see that Tall Tales and the framework provides is a way to not necessarily hide, but not emphasize the focus on teamwork. Try to let it happen naturally with a guided point of view. I think that's what I'm seeing. Am I correct in that?
The framework allows you to tailor a game, or actually pick a game, establish the parameters of that game that meets the goals that are most important to it, for that team to accomplish next. It gives you that structure, because if you don't have the structure, it seems very chaotic. The participants start speculating upon what that next game would be instead of being in the moment of playing the game. And then during the processing, using that game as a frame of reference. Did that answer your question or did I miss it? I think I missed it.
What I was saying is the game helps you focus on the activity, not so much on the technical solution of doing it. It is trying to, it's a theme that allows you to basically have fun while you're solving something without really worrying about the solving in and of itself. That makes sense.
I think you're along the right idea. And as we practice these things, it'll become clearer.
Okay.
But
So,
Tony,
yeah.
this is where you said get to know the group prior to them arriving will help, because the games, you may have a bucket full of game ideas, but you're not going to use every one for every group. You're going to tailor the games to the group. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, you got that right. Absolutely. Hopefully, some of the people who are at the Vietnamese Camp Ri can share some of their experiences, because I'm willing to bet, even though they had set up stations and the groups went from station to station, instead of being led by a facilitator who would handle all the games, they would send groups to it. And I'm willing to bet every time as one group would show up, that they would be at least subtly different than another group, and they would have to adapt the game. But it was so hectic, I didn't have a time to chat with them. But was anybody there on the call now who was at the Vietnamese Campari? Oh, I think they had said that they were going to be late. But so the key things with the tall tales is to basically what you're doing, you're defining the outline and you're letting the participants fill in the details. And then you're there to keep them kind of focused within that framework. Now, that also means that you can create scenarios where each participant could be a hero. And when you're facilitating the games, it's your game. Remember that part about Cope games being adaptive? Now, some of us who are a little older and longer in the tooth can get away with reminding the participants that we suffer from CRS, can't remember stuff. And we forgot to give them a rule, or we forgot to give them a variant on how they may proceed. And you can tailor those rules to guide the participants into the behavior that you're wanting them to discover. One thing to bear in mind and make sure that the participants know that this is your story, your tall tale, your rules. Now, the way you can get that idea across is any one of the participants that wants a clarification, wants a rule, then give it to them so that they will stop asking for them. Peer pressure is a beautiful thing. The other thing to keep in mind is always be positive. Make sure the challenge is a thing. When the challenge is a person, the focus then can start to turn into an us versus them or a person-person competition. And what's really neat about COPE is helping youth discover that when games are played collaboratively, everybody has an opportunity to win. When they're played competitively, somebody is going to be the loser. Now the other,
Let me back. This is Chuck.
yeah, Chuck.
This is Chuck. Let me back up 2 steps and give an example of what Tony just said. He does this really, really well. You know, if a group is trying to solve something, and they come to him and say, "Mr. Wiseman, can we use our belts for this?" He usually says, "Would you like to use your belts?" They say, "Yeah, we would." And he said, "Oh no belts are allowed on this." Or, "Can we use our neckerchiefs? Would you like to use your neckerchiefs?" "Yeah, we would." No, sorry, can't use your neckerchiefs." That usually gets them to stop asking specific questions and try and be more internally thoughtful. Another thought about making it your game is your mind, or the participants' minds, will remember things that are really outrageous and ridiculous. If you just make it, you know, normal, like, "Okay, you're at Tyson's Corner Mall and blah blah blah," they're gonna forget it. But if you talk about Leprechaun Base Camp, you know, people are going to remember that in 3 months or 3 years. I still remember one of my early COPE instructors who talked about having to use the swing to get over the radioactive cauliflower. Now, I hate cauliflower, and I don't like radioactive things. I don't want to fall into a bed of radioactive cauliflower. And by George, I remember that 20 years later. So the taller you can make the tale, the better they'll remember it.
Thanks, Chuck. So bring this group into your world. That also then releases them from the burden of living up to their view of who they think they are. And that enables them to come to terms with who they really are. And to make sure that when you release them back in the world, it's with a positive feeling. To be honest, guys, I don't know of any program in BSA or outside of BSA that's designed to do that. I get really hyped about this. The other reason I get really hyped about it is I've seen some of the youth who've come out and done facilitation, and it's incredible how that changes their life going forward, about how they'll get into a situation where there's uncertainty about how things are going to work, and they just have this inner confidence that there is a solution and they will find it. That's amazing what happens when the group has that going for them. So that's some of the things I would like you to think about when you're thinking of stories and tall tales. And I'll go back, look at what's in the book, and expand on that. Any questions about that? Okay.